Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I am the host of Dice Exploder, the Emmy-nominated podcast all about RPG design right here on the Many-Sided Network. And after years of interviews and ideation with some of the best designers in RPGs, my first print game is coming to Kickstarter. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes, a John Wick-inspired game about getting your bloody revenge. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a game about standing in the shadow of a skyscraper in the pouring rain, bathed in bubblegum neon and someone else's blood, staring down at the man who ruined your life all those years ago, raising the barrel of a gun and asking, "Will you pull the trigger?" Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a one-shot capsule game box set deck builder RPG, and you can follow it right now on Kickstarter. Back Band-Aids and Bullet Holes on May 5th.
Welcome back to another episode of Mage Hand High Five. I'm your Dungeon Master, Casey Pappas, and with me, ranked least to most likely to misplace their own pants.
Ooh.
Yeah. I think we gave away the ranking by the how we responded to that.
Least, Robin Langenhop.
Ha-ha! I am Robin Langenhop, Perlaine Hinton Kincaid, and I always know where my pants are.
I'm so glad.
They're not always, like, neatly put away, but I know where they are.
That's good.
Next, Max Weinberg.
Hello, it's me, Max Weinberg, playing Wyatt Forsythe, and do you mean, like, a particular pair of pants? Like, I gotta know where my, like, dress pants are, or just pants?
That's telling on its own.
Up to interpretation.
Well, like, sometimes I'm like, I want my black jeans, and I don't know where my black jeans are.
Yeah, see, I think that you asking for clarification on this is a little damning.
I think that proves that you're in the middle.
Right, you don't have a pants drawer?
I do, but I have ADD. Do you think I use my dresser? It's all in the hamper somewhere.
And finally, Rowan McStay.
Howdy, I'm Ro McStay, playing Salome Breyer, and I don't know where lots of my things are. I am someone who seems like they have a lot together and absolutely does not.
It's all a smokescreen.
It's such a thin veneer. Like, once you get to know me even a little bit, you're like, oh, they don't know what's going on. Like, if I forget your birthday, it's not because I don't know when your birthday is, it's because I don't know what fucking day it is.
Rowan hasn't seen their child in 15 years.
I have a kid. But Salome doesn't wear pants, so that's not a problem for her.
Well, fantastic. With that, let's dive right in, is what I would say.
God.
If we weren't separated. So, will everybody but Max...
Ooh, I'm first.
Depart the table.
All right. Bye, Wyatt. Kisses.
Bye, bye, bye.
Toodles.
Wyatt, last time, you were on your way to the Fount with Boyd. While en route, you came upon Father Muldinen in a cell, along with other devotees of the flame. You attempted to contact him in secret, but the spell was reverberated back at you, resulting in an unpleasant psychic experience. You continued with Boyd, but caught Father Muldinen's eye as you left. In the elevator down to the Fount, you and Boyd began to argue, each of you holding a level of disdain for the other, to put it lightly. You arrived at the Fount of the Flame, finding it sealed with a mysterious handprint, identical to your mark of the flame. Against Boyd's protestations, you opened the Fount, only to find this to be exactly Boyd's real goal all this time. When we last left off, Boyd had thrown both hands into the Fount and begun to draw from its power. Where you are now. You are in this small cavern with Boyd. Both of his hands are in the jet of flame shooting up from this small hole in the middle of the room. And you watch as this flame is swirling up his arms. And he says,
Oh boy, we're really in it now. You see this? You see this, boy? This is real power. And this is gonna make me one of the richest men on Earth. You see, I couldn't open the fount by myself. I had to get one flame-touched or some shit. So thank you for that. As much as we might not like each other, you've been real helpful to me today. And that's why I think I'm gonna give you the friends and family discount.
For what?
Time, son. Look at me. I'm a peak physical specimen. I'm in the prime.
Wyatt holds in a snicker.
But I ain't always gonna be like that. Now imagine if you had access to a pocket of power, untouched. Heal you in a snap. Take the damn years off you. Why, these rich folks upstairs would never have to give away their money to their ungrateful children. Because instead, they'd give it to me. You see, Wyatt, I am pioneering a new, very lucrative field. Life itself. When I start selling tickets, you and your family, well, I'll give you a 5% discount. How about that? You dip your hands in the flame, you get the secret of life, you get immortality, and I get 25 million gold. How's that?
But if you live forever, that defeats the point of living.
Defeats the point of living?
Nothing matters anymore.
Nothing matters. Nothing matters. Son, you live forever, you never experience death. You experience everything good in life.
So you'll just watch your friends die to be alone for the rest of your life? That's what you want?
Well, if my friends can pony up the 25 million gold a pop, I won't have to watch them die. They can live right alongside me.
I think at this moment, Wyatt is incredibly angry because, I mean, this idea is ludicrous. And the idea that your friends and the purest of capitalism, that your friends and family can only join if they have enough money, gets Wyatt unbelievably mad. He's gonna run at Boyd and just try to push him out of the pillar of fire.
I am going to have you roll a strength check.
Wyatt's anger absolutely gets the better of him, because that's a 7.
Uh-oh. Well, Boyd rolled an 18. So you run to him and push him, and he doesn't move. Wyatt, you feel a little queasy, as if some energy is leaving you. Your access to the flame has been flickering over the past week or two, and now more than ever, it is draining quick. And at the same time, has Boyd gotten a little bigger? Is he looking stronger?
Wyatt kind of like rolls off of Boyd to get away a little bit, and Wyatt is just pleading with Boyd to take his hands out of the fire and stop. Boyd, what are you doing? How can you do this? Your friends and your family, they're the ones that are with you. Money won't be there. What if you have no money? Then you have to rely on your friends. That's what I've been doing this entire time with Salome and Hayden. They're the reason I'm here right now.
He looks at you. This is so far and beyond what Boyd is able to understand. So he just looks at you and says, I don't really go in for that friendship type shit. Your friends, they make you weak. You know what doesn't make you weak? And as he says this, he pulls his hands out of the fire, and you see that the fire has not left them. Now both of his fists glow a bright orange. The rings on his finger look red hot. And he says, living forever.
But here's the thing, even living forever doesn't have to be just you. The word of the flame lives inside all of us, and you should know that since we walked through that hallway, I walked past someone who I thought was long gone, but lived forever with me and with Hayden. Father Moldenin is still alive, and he is the single greatest person that I have ever met. Greater than any little man like you. And at this moment, Wyatt casts Guardian of Faith, which summons a large D&D size, like ethereal Father Moldenin to come and protect him in whatever is about to happen.
Boyd looks at this giant Father Moldenin who has just appeared and says, son, I don't know who the fuck that is. Hey, Wraith, why don't you go upstairs and make sure we're not interrupted for this next part? And you look, and as you look, the elevator doors open, and you watch as someone who has been in this room with you the entire time comes out of invisibility. A suit of white knight's armor, two wicked-looking blades, one in each hand. This figure steps onto the elevator, and it closes behind them. And as they do that, Max, would you do me a favor?
No.
Would you call in Rowan and Robin, please?
Do it yourself. I don't want to do this anymore.
Solemnly, caught in the library, you were able to convince Doc Dervish that you were a socialite lost in the arena. He escorted you back to the entrance and went to grab your tickets while you excused yourself to the restroom, turning invisible the moment you did. You snuck into the stands, only to find a game in progress, one containing both Mordric and Philomena. As you headed back down, you ran into a familiar face. Hayden. While heading out of the arena with Belinda, you discovered she had been investigating where Barabbas went before being caught. She killed a guard, replaced him, and has been investigating ever since. You both headed down to the location of the Flames prisoners, encountering Father Moldenin. He let you know that Wyatt had just started down the elevator with Boyd Crenshaw, the man who runs the place. You both went up to find Salome in the arena, running into Doc Dervish along the way. Unbeknownst to you, you attempted to pull the same trick Salome did minutes earlier. Sensing something was amiss, he sounded the alarm. As you ran, you encountered Salome fresh on the run herself, and you both headed for the elevator down to the Fount of the Flame. Where you are now.
Okay, quickly, very quickly.
Where are we now?
Where you are now, Salome and Hayden, you rush forward, still running through the bowels of this place, trying your best to reach the elevator to the bottom level.
So I'm still invisible, right? And Belinda is with us in a mask?
Belinda is with you in, like, full black armor with a hound's mask.
Okay.
Hayden, you are disguised as a wealthy patron?
Yes, I think if there's an immediate moment where I'm actively not being observed by Doc, I will switch again.
Great. Who do you change into?
I've seen enough prisoner's garb now that I could transform myself into a nondescript prisoner, right?
The thing is, everyone in this place is sort of just wearing their own clothes. There is no prisoner's garb. There's no, like, identifier as to who's a guard, except that they are people fully armored walking around outside of the cells.
Then I will change into my trademark nondescript man. and put my hands behind my back the second we pass the door and start moving at a more reasonable pace.
Belinda sees you do it and just grabs your hands to be your escorting guard.
Great.
From invisibility, I don't know that Belinda knows that I'm here yet, but from invisibility, Salome says,
wait, hold on. Sorry. Hi, Ms. Bartle. I keep running into you invisible.
Maybe we should go with Officer Bartle just temporarily.
Do you work here? Because that's a different conversation.
Belinda says, let's wait. We'll talk about this on a lower level.
All right, fine. Hell, do we think Wyatt's down there?
Last I heard, that's where he's headed.
All right.
With some Crenshaw something or other. The guy who owns the place.
Boyd Crenshaw.
Boyd Crenshaw, that's right.
Yeah, Doc Dervish was talking to me about Boyd Crenshaw. There's not people around, are there?
I assume we're about to be intercepted.
You are going along the catwalk overlooking the prisoner bay.
Okay.
Hundreds of cages of cells below you stretch off and circle around the building. You hear from behind, stop them! And a bunch of guards run past you. And they continue on and split off down different hallways in order to cover more ground. Belinda quickly takes your hands, Hayden, and steers you down a different path. As you go, Belinda makes sudden sharp turns, seeming to decide almost arbitrarily, now we're going down this way, and now we're going down this way. In some cases, she doubles back and goes down a different path, twisting her way through the prison. She seems to have this place mapped out.
Glad someone does.
And the sounds of the guards in the distance fade away. And now you are free of the guards pursuing, continuing deeper down into this place.
Right, so what happened to y'all? Can we talk about it now? Because I have been worried sick about you. Hayden, are you okay?
I'm all right. I poofed into this this labyrinth arena thing. I was one of the competitors in a previous round.
Yeah, no, Philomena, you mentioned you were in the games. Philomena and Mordric are in there right now. And I don't know how to get them out.
That's not good. I don't know if there's any way we can help them from where we are. But to my understanding, only 4 people make it out.
Holy hell. Okay. Well, Miss Bartle, it is good to see you, but how the hell did you get in here? Were you looking for Barabbas, I assume?
Well, I was until you let me know that he is not here.
No, he's not. Are you... why are you still here? Why not make a break for it?
Well, you only told me about this yesterday, so I hadn't quite had time to make an escape plan.
Right. Okay, well...
one way or another...
Here we are.
We're not going to be here too much longer.
Listen, I know wherever you folks go, they tend to shut the place down afterwards, so...
We do have a tendency for that.
Yeah, I think we got a bit of a reputation. Mm. How do y'all know why it's down there?
I ran into a bit of a reminder from my own past to a prisoner here.
I need you to be specific.
His name is Father Muldenin.
You ran into Father Muldenin here?
Yes.
Why it's mentor?
And mine.
Is this... I don't think Salome knows about this, right?
A lot of my history with the church before everything that went down with the Pipers was with this man. I thought that he had been killed off by Courtois, but apparently he was carted off here. This was years ago.
Oh my God, and he's still alive down here?
He is. And I made him a promise that we'd do everything we can to get him and the others out.
Oh, we're getting everybody out of here.
We better.
And if I'm going to be honest with you, I think I would like to burn this place to the ground if we can help it.
You know who would be able to help us do that? Someone who's really well acquainted with fire.
Wait, oh shit, I forgot to tell y'all. Do you know anything about the book that Doc Dervish is carrying?
No. No, I saw it for the first time when I met him just a moment ago.
What's this now?
Right, y'all, so, okay, so, I... got sent down into the prison as well, but I didn't get sent to the games. There's a woman next to me who I also told I would come back for. Her name's Lotus. She's real nice. Seems to have been here for a long time. Nobody I know, but I wound up in the library. There's a massive library down deeper in the prison, and there's a book about the flame and its people, and apparently they are trying to open something in the fount of the flame, some source of power that the flame has or is. They're trying to open it, and apparently only one person who is flame touched can open it, and that sounds a lot like Wyatt. And that they tried to drag another fire spellcaster out of a cell next to me, and he blew himself up trying to get out.
Is this that story that the flamers tell about the flame eventually consuming us all? Are they trying to make that happen?
I have no idea. I mean, I wouldn't put it past the church to try to make something like that happen, but I don't know about these people. I get the feeling they're just looking for power.
That sounds less like the guy who runs this place, Boyd, is a... He's a real son of a bitch. He really only cares about money and about power. And anything that can get him those two things.
Do you know if they keep a list of the people who visit this place?
I don't know for sure. They do try to keep stuff like that secret. However, I wouldn't put it past Boyd to keep his own personal list to everybody in order to make sure that were anything to happen, he'd have dirt on them.
Well, I'd like to go ahead and find that list if I can. But in the meantime, I suppose we want to go looking for Wyatt. Is there anything else y'all have gathered, information that y'all have about this situation before we go into this? I heard of somebody called the Wraith. I don't know who that is.
Somebody who works here. They used to be a competitor long ago, but they were so good that they rose above it. They got hired on as a... Well, they were a fan favorite for a long time because they were sort of the butcher of the games.
Right. Do you have any idea who they are?
I don't. They never take off their armor.
I went toe-to-toe with them for a moment down in the games. They were practically intangible, so I ran.
Okay.
They're able to cloak themselves at will. Turn invisible. Blink of an eye. If we get further into this, we're going to have to deal with them.
Yeah, probably. Probably them and Doc Dervish and, what, Boyd?
If Wyatt ain't already dealing with Boyd.
Well...
Or I guess if Boyd ain't already dealing with Wyatt.
I mean, I think that the best thing that I can think of is that Boyd probably needs Wyatt to open up this flame seal. And I think that Wyatt, bless him, has enough of a head on his shoulders that he wouldn't just do it. So, at the very least, I think that Boyd needs him alive. I hope that Boyd needs him alive.
My instinct is to go straight after Wyatt, collect him, and then figure out what to do next. But is there anything to be said for starting up a mass jailbreak now and using the chaos to our advantage?
If I may.
Yeah.
There's a section of prisoners. Hayden, we already went there. Where all of these flame folk, what have you, they're all grouped together in one place. All of the Trident fails.
All the flame worshippers who didn't have the ability that they were looking for. That's where Father Maldenon is.
Right.
I think there's a small number of cages there. We let them out. That's enough of a distraction. If we go around in this big prisoner bay down here, we're going to get caught quick.
And I've warned them to be ready for when the doors open.
All right. Well, Miss Bartle, you know better than we do, so we'll do what you think is best.
I know how to get to cell block F. Let's go.
All right. Lead the way.
And she takes you there. As you enter cell block F, there are the rows of prisoners. Salome, this is the first time you're seeing this room. Hayden, you were here not too long ago. This section is sectioned off from the rest of the prisoners. There are only a few rows of cells, all of them
contain people with insignias of the flame. Some of them are flame knights. Some of them are just regular people. Hayden, you spot Father Muldinen still sitting in his cell. And as you approach, he looks up, sees you, and says, "You're back."
"Yes, I brought a friend. If it's all right with y'all, we're thinking we're going to get these doors open for you. And hopefully the others eventually, but we just need a little bit of chaos going so that we can..."
"You need us to run interference."
"If that's all right. I don't want to put you into any extra harm's way."
"Hayden, I've always looked at myself as a means through which the flame can help its own. If I can help these people, then the amount of danger I'm in does not matter."
Hayden starts tearing up again.
"Consider me a warding flare. Are you following Wyatt?"
"That's where we're going next."
By this point, Belinda has opened his cage and is now going down the line, has let out a couple more flame knights. And Father Muldinen says, "Right, well, we'll do what we can. Take another set of keys, open more cells."
I reach out my hands to him.
He takes your hands.
"May the flame, the true flame, keep you safe and keep you warm. Until we meet again."
"And may the flame keep you." And his hands warm. They're a little toasty.
As this is happening, can I go over to one of the flame knights and say, "Howdy, are y'all sent here from Sacrament, from Seer Maeve?"
They look at each other and say, "You're initiated."
"No.
You know of Sacrament?"
"Well, yes to that, no to initiated, but we're, you know..."
"We're temporarily deputized."
"She sent us. Is this all of y'all, or do we need to pick up more people?"
They look, and one of them hangs their head and says, "This is all of us."
"I'm sorry. All right, well, hey, it's good to have you back. I'm sure Seer Maeve will be very happy to see you. There's another prisoner in here who's real interested in learning about Sacrament. That's actually the reason she's here, so I'll have to introduce y'all later. Anyway, see you soon."
They look at each other and go, "Okay." And one of them takes a knee, as if to bow to a fellow knight.
"Oh, I take a knee and then realize that no one can see me do it." I think the knight just hears a rustling of petticoats as I try to take a knee.
Great.
And we go for Wyatt?
And you go for Wyatt.
Let's go.
As you spot the elevator doors are not very far away from here. As you spot them, Salome, you see the last person you'd expect standing next to them. An elven woman in a hot pink dress, flashy and eye-catching, blonde hair tied back in a highly stylized bun. It's Mary Jean Wainwright.
Luther's wife?
Though since her husband's unfortunate death, she's likely going by her maiden name, Laterno.
Laterno?
Mary Jean Laterno.
Okay. I mean, it's kind of telling to me that she's going by her maiden name after her husband's death, because not everybody does that. What do I remember about Mary Jean Laterno?
Mary Jean was not overly involved in her husband's affairs. You can't tell whether that's because she didn't care or because he wouldn't let her. Similar to you, she's originally from the Badlands, but for the time you've known her, she seems to be really enjoying the finer things.
Mm.
She really likes her stuff.
Okay. But I couldn't really get a beat on like her vibe beyond that. Like, she wasn't super engaged with me.
She didn't really interact with you very much.
I mean, who did?
Yeah.
Okay. is she in one of the cells?
No, she's coming down the hallway as if headed toward the elevator.
So it's like she works here.
You don't know.
Sorry, one moment, please. I happen to know this woman. I walk up
behind her and put Thaddeus's gun at her back.
Hands in the air. And she says, huh?
Mayor Jane?
I ain't got no money.
What the hell are you doing here?
She says, you sound familiar. Have I met you?
Mm-hmm, you sure have. Now what the hell are you doing here?
I have met you. You have a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, Salome?
Yes, ma'am.
What are you doing here?
I'm here trying to get my friends and family out of this place and to try to track down the people running it. What are you just coming here to get your laughs now that Luther's died? Are you here for entertainment?
Well,
like everybody else from Creed?
Hold on. What with Thad's recent she pauses and waves her hands and says, unfortunate death. When Luther was killed, well, people thought I had something to do with it. So I hid for a while and found someone to bide my time with, and this was his idea of a first damn date.
Oh, honey.
What kind of a first date is this?
I don't know. I don't know him very well.
Oh.
I don't know him very well. He just had money.
Oh, dear heart.
And who was this?
Okay.
Johnny.
Johnny what?
Johnny Fearson. He's upstairs.
Johnny Fearson. Okay. Do I know Johnny Fearson?
You do not know Johnny Fearson.
A first date, huh? And how are you feeling? How are you feeling about that first date with Johnny Fearson?
Well, not great, because there's a lot of shouting upstairs, and so I thought I'd come down here to try and get away from whatever's going on up there.
Oh, it's the shouting that's bothering you?
Well, I mean that in the, you know...
The what?
The
what?
The killing? Are you going to hurt me?
Maybe.
Okay.
What exactly is upsetting to you about this?
Well...
Is it that your date's not going very well, or is it something else?
I didn't know where he was taking me. He said this was going to be a surprise, and then there was people, you know, spilling each other's entrails. I don't really like it.
Right. No, you three people do just about anything to avoid feeling culpable, won't you? Just get the hell out of here, Mary Jane, okay?
Okay. Wait, can I go?
Oh, shit. Hell. Hayden, what do you think?
I think we gotta pick our battles a bit. There's a lot for us to take on right now. If you don't think she's dangerous, then maybe we just let it go.
It seems like there's a lot of shouting upstairs. Seems like there's a lot of dangerous people running around.
There's a lot of things upstairs. Mary
okay.
Jane, you're about the most dangerous kind of person running around here.
Okay.
I am sorry that Luther's death was pinned on you. That was not fair.
Yeah, I don't... He just sort of went off one day and then never came back.
Oh.
And they said he was stabbed to death in a mob.
Okay. Darling, I think we ought to talk. Why don't you just... Shit. Luther was trying to kill a lot of people in Providence. He was doing a lot of what Thaddeus was doing. I don't know how aware you are of any of that, but he was doing a lot of the same things, and they were killing a lot of people and hurting a lot of people, just like Johnny, and just like you, and just like everybody else here. So, I killed Luther.
Okay.
And he had already stabbed me in the back and turned half of Providence against itself, so you'll forgive me if I don't feel terribly bad about that.
I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot of information.
No, it is.
Is there anything I can do to help you make you feel better?
What?
You seem like you're kind of having a rough day.
That is an insane question. You can go home and burn three to the ground is what you can do, Mary Jane.
Okay.
Listen, I don't give a damn whether we married into it or not. None of us from that city deserve to get out alive at this point.
Okay. Are you going to shoot me if I run off?
No.
Okay.
Hell.
Do you mind if I start running?
Just run. Just go. Just get out of here and try to do something better with your life. Shit.
She starts running pauses, takes off her high heels, and then keeps running.
You know what that is? Growth.
Is it?
Not really. I was trying.
Shit, I always felt bad for her, but I don't know what the hell to do with that.
The elevator opens. You heading?
Yeah. Let's do it.
You head into the elevator. There's only one other button. Do you click it?
Is it down?
It's down.
Let's go.
Great. You click the button. The elevator starts to descend.
Did Mary Jane seem upset about me killing Luther? Can I do like a retroactive insight check as we're riding this elevator?
Sure. Roll a retroactive insight check.
Great. That's a 23.
23. She seemed a little upset.
Okay. That's fair.
And as you're thinking back on it, the elevator jolts and halts. You hear an alarm.
Shit. Miss Bartle, you know a way out of this?
She says, I mean, there's the... She points to the hatch above.
Yeah. Let's go.
And as she starts to click it, she opens it and you hear a voice shouting, "What, you think you can just hold a gun to my back? You think you can just threaten me? It's perfectly fine if you kill your own meal ticket, but you didn't have to kill mine. And now you're coming down here to kill my other meal ticket after I just found him?
Oh.
Bitch."
What? Is she up there? I pull up Thaddeus' gun and shoot her.
Mary Jean Letourneau, or I guess I should say Mary Jean Crenshaw, is peering into the elevator shaft. And she says, "I hope you rot down there."
Oh, I should have killed you when I had the chance.
And as she says that, would you do me a favor and call in Max?
Yeah, sure. Are we leaving?
You're leaving.
I'm going to a party. Are you? GameFound is inviting you to participate in their second RPG party, a curated event designated to help indie TTRPG creators bring their projects to life through crowdfunding. Whether it's a zine, a massive tome, or maybe something that doesn't even have pages, this is a unique opportunity to move forward with real support, visibility, and expert feedback. GameFound will be having an open call for submissions from May 5th through the 26th, with crowdfunding going live this fall. Submissions will be reviewed by a panel of industry partners like Darrington Press, Modifius Entertainment, Free League, and Magpie Games. They will be selecting 15 to 25 projects that will be receiving support in the way of workshops with industry experts, marketing, one-on-one mentorship, and a community to grow with. Let this be the final push you need to make your game a reality. It's going to be challenging, it's gonna be stressful, but when it's all finished, it's incredibly rewarding. Go to gamefound.com/blog for more information and to submit your project today. This episode was brought to you by the World Builders Club, a project of Working Families Power, an organization building power for the multiracial working class. The World Builders Club is your go-to dispatch for breaking down the political, cultural, and emotional architecture behind your favorite universes. From romantasy novels and TTRPGs to blockbuster franchises and indie gems, this isn't just pop culture analysis. It's a love letter to the art of creating worlds and the power those worlds have to shape our own. As an actor, I really loved their blog about how Darth Maul from the Star Wars saga incorporates the tropes of Shakespeare's villains, fools, and tragic heroes into this big sci-fi epic. Join the club and build a better world with them by subscribing to bit.ly/WBCManySided or by searching World Builders Club on Substack. You're not going to want to miss it.
Hey, I'm Dre Silvertooth, and I'm a GM. You should absolutely come listen to our podcast, because I have the best heroes. They're hunting curses for the Queen of Vire, and it's going great.
I got 5 hit points.
I have a plan.
Is it to write my eulogy?
They make really good choices.
Oh God, why did I do that?
It's all according to plan. Textbook success.
How do you cram a werewolf through a foot and a half diameter ring?
Creatively.
Okay, so maybe not textbook.
Try to remain calm.
Fine. They are bad heroes. I have very bad heroes on my podcast. But they are hilarious. Come check us out at badheroescast.com or find Bad Heroes wherever you get your podcasts.
Sanguis populi, the blood of the people, the dark protectors of the hidden city of Azeroth, deep within the illusory forest, familiar with death as they have eluded it, they are called upon for a desperate task, slaying a creature from the great beyond. Blythe.
This might not be easy, being surrounded by death. I don't understand how they can do it.
Elvira.
Someone must watch the bodies, and none do so as diligently.
Swan.
Into action so fast. I love when we get to go out.
It came from the sky. This great, pale monstrosity.
You just had to sate your hunger. You couldn't have saved it for the beasts.
I prefer the gratuity.
Vampirism is not immortality. It only prolongs the inevitable. Is this the end for Sanguis Populi? Blood in the snow. A tale yet told. Halloween 2025.
Sorceress, lower the barrier for just a moment. Sanguis Populi departs.
Listen to Tale Is Yet Told wherever you get your podcasts.
Wyatt. The elevator doors close, and as you turn back to look at Boyd, a fist full of rings, red hot, clocks you.
What?
Boyd rolled a 27 to hit you.
God, yeah. No.
And you're going to take 18 bludgeoning damage as you feel Boyd's rings connect with your jaw.
God. Ah.
He says, you know what? You were right. You were right. I think you are just a little fucking kid. I don't think you're an adult. An adult would know to take the money. But you... And he's going to try and hit you again.
I'm going to warding flame because I don't want to get hit.
Okay.
Again.
Ooh, that is a 16.
That misses.
Okay. He misses on the second one. He misses your jaw. And then he's going to try and hit you one more time. And that's going to be a 19 to hit.
Yeah. God.
And that is going to be 13 points of bludgeoning damage.
God, Casey.
He hits like a truck.
But we can't forget about Father Muldenon, because he is still around. And
he is, yes.
I need Boyd to make a dex save.
Okay. That is an 11 dex save. So that's probably not going to save.
After Boyd clocks Wyatt that second time, a book from out of nowhere comes out and just smacks down on Boyd for 20 radiant damage.
Ooh. Let me have you roll a religion. Because there's one more aspect of this fight.
You know I love rules, Casey. That's a 26.
With a 26 religion, the flame itself, your god, has a limited amount of time before his power goes out. Drawing on it too much will speed that up. However, giving to it will bolster him and in turn bolster you.
So when you say give to it, does that mean like use my action to feed fire into it or just...
Yes. So essentially how this is going to, how this fight is going to work is you can use your action to attack, like to take your regular action,
mm-hmm.
or there are two additional actions that you can take. One is to draw from the flame, and the second is to give to the flame. Drawing from the flame will bolster your attack. However, it will weaken the flame and perhaps kill it if it gets low enough. Or you can cast a fire or a healing spell to bolster the flame in return.
Okay.
When you do that, you can either give Boyd disadvantage on attacks for one turn.
Ooh.
Or heal yourself equal to the damage or healing that you gave to the flame.
God, that's huge.
However, Boyd can pull from the fount to either boost his health or his damage, but not both at the same time.
In this instance, are we going to count Sacred Flame as a fire spell? It's technically radiant damage, but it's from the light cleric.
Is it a full action?
Yes.
I'll allow it.
Okay. So Boyd hits really hard, and I can't be having that too much. So I'm going to cast Sacred Flame into the fire, into the Pillar of Fire, and bolster it, and give Boyd disadvantage on attacks for his next turn.
Okay, all right.
I will then use a bonus action to cast Sanctuary on myself.
Okay.
So not only will he have to make a wisdom save to attack me, he will then attack if he succeeds on that with disadvantage. It's going to be a long fight, Casey, but I'm going to get there.
No, that's awesome. Okay, you cast Sacred Flame on the jet, and as you do, you feel its power bolster. You feel it strengthen. You feel it recharge a little bit. And you see the jet of flame shoot out. Boyd roars as this jet of flame dances across his eyes, giving him disadvantage on his next turn, and says, "All right, you little fuck."
That fire kind of rains over me and just shimmers around me, creating the sanctuary that he also has to get through.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
I'm staying in the light of Father Muldenin, who will hopefully protect me as much as possible.
Boyd is going to roll that dex save for the Guardian of Faith. That is not going to do it.
Great. The book smacks down again right onto him for another 20 radiant damage.
Jeez.
There's a reason they call it the good book.
So there's a wisdom save and then the disadvantage for the found. Okay.
Correct, yes.
Let's do the wisdom save. That's not going to do it.
He just punches the ground, I guess.
That swings wide. A second one. Okay, that is going to hit. So let's do the disadvantage. Yeah. That is going to hit with a 19.
Come on.
That is going to be 13 points of bludgeoning damage.
Oh, God, Casey.
And then one more attack. That is going to fail the wisdom save.
Yes.
So, hey, only 13 damage.
How is he looking?
He's looking fine.
He's looking fine?
Yeah, he's looking good.
Okay, he's probably pretty beefy if he's taken 40 damage and is looking fine still.
Honestly, this old man is pretty jacked.
Yeah.
He's got that, like, leathery Florida man body.
Oh, no, ew. God, yeah. He's immune to fire damage.
He's kind of jacked in a fucked up way.
God. Okay, I'm going to have to heal myself. Wyatt is, as he did in his fight against Clive, is going to build a fireball in his hand and push it directly into the Pillar of Fire to heal myself. So I'll bolster the flame and then also heal myself with it.
Okay.
That's going to be 30 damage. Well, 30 health that I heal myself up.
Yeah. That
because I need it.
You shoot this fire from your hands. It joins the fount, and the fire, that jet of fire, grows, and you get healed back for 30 health.
Thank the flame.
And as you do that, Boyd looks at you and says, "It's sad, really, seeing somebody who don't want to grow up. Who don't want to see the world for the way it is. See the opportunities that await a man. See, I thought we had something here, Wyatt, a little mentor-mentee type thing. I was going to teach you the way of the world. But instead, you want to be a witless fucking kid. A nerd. Being led around by the nose. Hell, son. I bet wherever your daddy is, he hates your ass. I would if I were him."
Wyatt just starts to make a giant fireball again in his hand, but it's not his turn, so he can't do anything about it.
Boyd rears back to clock you again, and as that fist comes back, Max, would you do me a favor?
Casey, this is the worst time.
Would you call in Rowan and Robin, please?
Why would I start now?
Salome and Hayden, you're in the elevator. The elevator just jolted to a halt. Belinda has flipped out onto the top of the elevator. You hear Mary Jean Wainwright or Mary Jean Crenshaw yelling down at you. Are you both still in the elevator?
Can I get up and shoot at her?
Sure. Make an athletics check to get to the top of the elevator.
Oh, nat 20.
Oh, perfect. Great. Well done.
You hoist yourself up onto the top of the elevator and begin firing at Mary Jean.
I draw Thaddeus's gun and start shooting at her. And the first one is with advantage.
Okay.
Nat 20 on one of them.
Yes, double nat 20.
Yeah.
Oh,
all right.
Boy. Okay.
Second one, let's see. Second one probably won't hit unless she's got a really low. Oh, nat 20 again!
That's three consecutive nat 20s!
Wait, okay.
The universe wants this woman to die, clearly.
I want this woman to die very badly. Okay. Does a... I would assume an 11 does not hit her, but she's not armored, so maybe.
No.
No, okay, great.
She's not armored as far as you can tell.
Okay, great, fun. So my first one is a nat 20.
You're also wearing an armor dress.
That's true. My third one is a nat 20. The middle one doesn't hit, so I don't get the damage scale necessarily in that way.
Oh, no. Damn.
I know, which is a bummer. But I get the two extra d10, and I get an extra one next time. So wait, do the d10s double when I crit?
They would, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I guess so. Yep.
Okay, great. So that's 8 d10 plus 10, if I'm not mistaken.
Get it.
Salome, you go to shoot Mary Jean, and you feel this familiar well of anger rising in your chest. You felt it with Thaddeus, with the Shamblers, with Fax, with the guard you killed before falling into the pit. The gun feels warm in your hands, and each shot feels like it flows directly from that rage toward the end of the barrel. And you find that over time, this gun has developed a bit of a taste. You said last episode that Salome is ready to kill, and you get the feeling that this gun is too.
Mm-hmm.
And from now on, each shot with this gun will deal an additional plus one damage for every kill you've made with it.
Ooh. Oh, God, that's ominous. But that's an additional three then, right?
That's an additional three. And maybe in a minute, four.
Might be.
Depending on how well this goes.
Plus five. So that's actually plus eight. So then that would be plus 16 if I hit twice.
Okay.
65 damage.
65 damage. Your bullets fly. Bang, bang, bang. One of them misses, and two of them find their target. She screams and disappears from sight.
Mm.
And in the distance, you hear, "Have fun at the bottom of the elevator shaft, bitch." And then the elevator doors close.
Oh, God, are we falling?
No.
No?
There's no falling.
No, no falling.
The elevator is just stuck.
Oh.
You can't go up. You can't go down. You are here.
Shit. Ooh,
all right. We need a solution to this.
Oh.
We will kill him later. We got to deal with this right now.
Hayden, you are still in the elevator.
Yes.
As you reach to pull yourself up, the trap door closes. As a fourth passenger on this elevator makes themselves known to you.
Oh, shit.
And they are going to slash you.
Oh, no, not the Wraith.
Does a 23 hit?
You know it does, Casey. You know it does.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
You are slashed by an unseen sword.
Ah.
And as you stagger back, you watch as someone comes out of invisibility, full white armor, two wicked-looking blades at their sides. As you did not check to see if there was anyone else on this elevator.
Mm-hmm.
And as the Wraith makes themselves known, they say,
"Your death will be delicious."
That did 7 points of piercing damage and then 13 points of poison damage.
Ooh.
Ooh.
And then they're going to attack again. And that's a crit.
Oh, no.
That's going to be 6 points of piercing damage, 22 points of poison damage.
Jeez.
Just as they slash down with their blades, each of them coated in poison, and you are poisoned.
I will use my reaction to cast Absorb Elements.
Nice.
Okay.
So that will reduce the poison damage by half.
Okay.
So that makes it, what, 11 and 5? No, 11 and 7.
You are poisoned until the start of the Wraith's next turn.
Hayden, are you doing okay in there?
I've been better.
Miss Bartle, honey, you got a way to get us back in there?
Belinda tries to open the hatch and says, "Damn it, it's locked from the inside."
I cast Misty Step.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Just pop up on top of the elevator with the others.
You disappear in a cloud and reappear on the top of the elevator.
Hi. Ow.
Oh, honey. All right.
We'll deal with that later.
Okay.
Is there a world where I can cut the whatever's holding the elevator up and drop our soldier friend?
That would be amazing.
Let me have you roll. I guess it would be an investigation check.
I'm going to have Glitter Baby search around with me to give me advantage.
Okay.
I can shoot at it too if you want.
That's only a 6.
Okay. You see two ropes and two cables. You don't know which ones are holding the elevator up versus which ones move it.
I mean, I'll roll about it too.
Yeah, go to town. Belinda will roll as well.
I'm not that smart. That's a 4.
We're not doing great.
Belinda rolled a 19.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
Just tell us what to hit.
Belinda says, "The cables, they're stronger than the ropes."
Oh, right. Okay, so hit the cables? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, you're smarter than both of us.
Or just hit them all.
All right, great.
Hit it.
Ooh, that is a 28 to hit on the first one.
That hits.
Everybody grab onto something. This floor is about to go away.
That is a 25 to hit.
That hits.
And that is a 14 to hit.
That hits.
Yes! Oh, okay. That puts me at a plus 5 next time, 5d10 extra next time I hit something.
Yeesh. Everyone roll a dex check to see if you can cling on to something.
All right.
All right.
Nat 20.
8.
Okay.
Oh, no, sorry. 7.
Can I rescue Salome with my nat 20?
Salome, you bang, bang, bang. You hit the two cables and one of the ropes.
All right.
The cables sever immediately. And the elevator, for the second time in this campaign, begins to plummet. This time, just like last time, Salome, you're still on it.
Mm-hmm.
As your handhold slips out of your grasp.
Shit.
Belinda clings to a side and says, Girl Scout.
I'm trying.
Hayden, you deftly cling to the side. And because you rolled a nat 20, I will let Salome re-roll her dex save.
Ooh.
Ooh. Okay, that's better. That is a 25.
Okay.
There we go. Ooh.
The car begins to plummet, and as it does, you see the top open up. You don't see anybody crawl out, and the elevator plummets. Hayden, you reach out a hand. Salome, you take it, and the elevator drops out from under you.
I got you. Ooh. I got you.
I don't think I'm ever getting used to that.
And as that happens, we cut over to Wyatt.
Beautiful.
Wyatt. Boyd is mid-punch. His fist comes swinging down. He is going to try to attack you.
Roll a wisdom save.
Gosh. That is a 12, so that is not going to do it.
Wyatt is just moving around the best that he can, trying to kind of like figuring out where like a flare from the fire pillar happens so he can kind of maybe blind Boyd a little bit.
The second one, that is a 21 to hit.
As Boyd gets ready to pull back to clock Wyatt, he's going to splash up warding flare right into his eyes.
Mm.
So he does this attack roll with disadvantage.
Ow, you little shit. Attack misses.
Amazing.
And his last attack misses.
Thank you, Flame.
So all three times, Boyd swings and his misses the first time, you warding flare the second one, and then he misses the third one.
Oh.
The rings on his fingers whiff past your face.
God, okay. I want to get a little space here. So I'm, with all the protection I have, I'm going to take... I'm just going to run away.
Okay.
And the reason for that is that the Guardian of Faith will trigger again if he tries to come for me.
Okay. He is going to try and make an opportunity attack.
Okay.
That doesn't do it.
And then I will also use Cure Wounds on the pillar to give Boyd disadvantage on attacks for the next turn.
Okay. Cool.
That's my turn.
And that's... Okay. Boyd is, he is, I mean, he's going to pursue you. He punches.
Dex save.
That is a 17.
That does it. So he still takes 10.
Okay.
And now my Guardian of Faith has 10 damage left in it.
Yeah. Your Guardian of Faith is Father Muldinen, and Father Muldinen gets a quick swipe in on Boyd as he rushes towards you.
Thanks, Father.
The father grins.
May the flame be with you.
That's not going to do it on his first attack.
Huh.
That's not going to do it on his second attack. Come on.
Oh, no.
Okay. That is a wisdom save of 20.
That'll do it.
Okay. And then he's going to roll with disadvantage.
What a gnarly combo.
That is going to be a 17 to hit.
18 armor class, baby.
Ugh.
Wyatt lifts his shield and just, boop, blocks his fist. He punches right into the shield.
It bounces and reverberates, and he snarls at you.
See what happens when you believe in others, Boyd?
Boyd chuckles and says, "Keep dancing, kid. I'll kill you eventually."
I didn't get into the musical. And Wyatt runs away 30 feet from Boyd and will take another opportunity attack.
Okay. He gets through the wisdom save. That is a 19.
Yeah, that gets through.
Okay.
But I will warding flame the attack. Warding flare the attack.
Ooh, okay. That is an 18 to hit, even with the disadvantage. It was going to be a nat 20, but instead it was an 18.
Yeah, I'll take the 18. I'll take the 18 there.
That is going to be 21 points of bludgeoning damage.
Oh, God. Okay. I'm going to cast Sacred Flame on Boyd, so I need a dex save from Boyd.
That's an at 20.
Well, that was a waste of one. Now my sanctuary drops.
Okay.
But I will also cast Shield of Faith on myself as a shimmering, like a heat shimmer envelops Wyatt, giving him plus 2 AC.
Ooh, okay.
And that is my turn.
On Boyd's turn, he chuckles and says, "All right, kid. You know what? I see how this is going to go. You're just going to keep rolling up shields, and I'm just going to keep punching you, and it's going to be a slow, inevitable death. So I'm going to do this instead." And then he throws both hands at the flame, and you see it arc out of the ground, surging wildly, and he begins to draw in that power.
No!
As he does that, the ground beneath you begins to rumble. Dust shakes from the ceiling, and you hear deep fracturing sounds. You look up to see a widening rift cracking up and up and up. It seems as if the entirety of this place is splitting down the middle. And as you watch, Boyd raises his hands into the air like a manic conductor, and the ground on which you both stand rockets upward. Make a strength save to keep from being thrown to the floor.
Okay. God, that's a 7.
That's a 7. You slam into the ground, flat on your back, and watch as the levels of this place raise past you. And as they do, you hear Boyd's cracking and chuckling laugh echoing through the chambers as you are fast approaching the arena above.
What arena, Casey?
And that is a great question. And with that, Max, can you bring Robin and Rowan back in, please?
Oh, no!
Salome and Hayden, you all watch as the elevator plummets into the distance below, and Belinda says, "Well, I guess we need to start climbing."
Guess so.
And you all start to climb. And as you do, you hear the boom of the elevator hitting the bottom of the shaft. And then you hear a weird noise. A deep, deep rumbling noise. The walls begin to shake. And you hear the sound of shattering rocks and metal. And you look down to see the elevator rising again.
No, thank you.
not of its own accord, but because the floor below it is rising up the elevator shaft.
Oh, this cannot be good.
Climb faster, climb faster.
I need you all to make acrobatics checks to climb up.
All right.
That's a four.
Oh.
I'm not going to do well on dex checks, like ever. You can make it an athletics check to climb and I can have proficiency, but...
You know what? I will take an I'll take an athletics check because this you are pulling yourself up.
Okay. This is still not good because I rolled a 3 on the die, so that's going to be a 7. Oh no, sorry, an 8. Excuse me, an 8.
15 for Hayden.
Salome, you begin to slip. Hayden, you make it up pretty far up the shaft. Salome, the elevator is rising fast, and soon enough, it comes up underneath you and scoops you up. And you are standing back on the elevator again. However, it is moving so fast that it's going to hit the top of the shaft really quick.
Mm. Ooh, okay.
Hayden, you make it to the doors.
Okay, yeah, I pry them open and swing out.
Can I just prepare to jump?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I'll just prepare to jump at the right second.
I'll get ready to catch.
Okay. Belinda makes it out as well. Belinda and Hayden, you stand there at the elevator door. Salome, you prepare an action, which means I will give you advantage.
All right.
On this.
Okay.
Roll an athletics check.
Oh, that's better. Okay, thank God it was with advantage because one of those was a 1.
Ooh.
That is a 21.
That's better.
You feel your foot misstep for a moment. Instead of jumping, you steady yourself again and then throw yourself through the doors. Hayden and Belinda both there to steady you as you come down onto solid land. The elevator slams into the top of the shaft and crumples into it.
Salome lands on top of Belinda.
Belinda looks at you and goes, "Hey, Girl Scout."
Howdy. Sorry. And I gotta pick myself up, pick her up, get back to her feet.
And this is the part where I would bring Wyatt back in.
Okay.
So, what I'm gonna do, now we're just gonna call everyone back in.
Hello.
I missed you.
You all stumble away from the elevator to find that the landscape of this place has changed. What you were standing in before was a contained room. It is now open to the sky above. You look out and see the arena. The entire roof of this place is gone. You see a widening rift has cracked open the arena, and between it has risen another floor. And on that floor, you see a screaming hobgoblin child on his back and a leathery, fiery bugbear man beginning to ascend into the sky over him. You see a jet of flame arcing up from the middle of the arena, of this new arena floor. And as you watch, you see the bugbear man turn, cast both of his hands on the flame, and more of it rises out of the ground and into his hands. You hear him. And that is where we'll pick up next time.
Okay. God damn. Okay.
Oh. Thanks so much for listening to another episode of Mage Hand High Five. the Badlands. Want to show your support for our show? Want to hear us talk more about it? Then check out our Patreon at patreon.com/magehandhighfive. We've got a $2 tier if you just want to show your support. $5 a month gets you all kinds of extra goodies like homebrew content, early access to merch, and a second extra podcast, Mage Hand Down Low, where we talk about the behind the scenes of the episodes. And then if you really want to go the distance, our $10 tier includes all the above, plus monthly live streams and creative content from the cast that you can't get anywhere else. Check us out at patreon.com/magehandhighfive. Thanks to Jacob Kirstner for our music and Shane Smith for our logo and our cover art. Check out our website at magehandhighfive.com and look for us all across social media. We're on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Discord, Blue Sky, and wherever else we may be, we're going to be there at magehandhighfive. Go to your podcatcher of choice and throw a 5-star review our way. They're a huge help. They make a massive difference with the algorithm and with getting our name out there. Please go check us out. Throw a 5-star review in. It'd be amazing. And now I'm going to shout out all of our original and up high subscribers over on Patreon. And I'm going to do it in one breath. Ionized Boop, Wolfwing Pup, Working at the Row Mansion, Yes Robin the Whole Thing Including This, Michael Carey, Marinette, Azure, Luke Sharples, Miranda Couple, Jay, Theo Wells, White, Lindsay, Dale Heimbecker, Dame Deppy Fresh, Darth Zelda, Deborah Jacobson, Jackson Maurer, Ocarina Sonata, Mads the Jelly Cube, Morgan Faber, Kathleen Ayers, Kellen Wilbur, Trout Relief, Patrick Hickman, Debbie, Nathan Ritter, Chicken, Too Tasty, Evan New, Navery Spar, A.M. Lovely, Salson DeVelvis, Dust Carpenter, Diana Bacon, Al Forrest Oakey, Liz, Gary Lee, Jonathan Gunn, Tyler Gardner, Eldest Soldier, Lana Bang, Laura Hickman, Alan, Sammy Richardson. Ooh, I'm getting the hang of this. Now you gotta give me a new challenge again. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your folks about the show. Go out into the middle of the street and just yell it as loud as you possibly can. Just go full town crier about it and see what happens. And when you do, use the hashtag MHH5. And hey, how about a high five?